Thank you. Like that organ music that fills this room, you can feel it in your bones almost. The Spirit of God is among us as we come together to worship and fill our house and our lives and our homes and our families. Welcome, church. Welcome to worship. Welcome all of you who are joining us by live stream today. We are glad you're connected with us and we are worshiping with you. It's good to be God's people together in this mission and this ministry that we share. Let's remember today, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The ushers are passing connection pads. If you'd leave us your name and some information, we would appreciate that. Also, if this is your first time with us today, we have welcome cards in the pew rack in front of you. And if you care to, fill one out and then leave it with one of our greeters at either door, and they will hand you a gift bag at the end of the service. Let us know how we can pray with you and for you. You can do that at mcfarlandumc.org, the front page of our website, and there's a red button there for prayer requests, or fill out this prayer request card that's in the pew rack in front of you and put it in the offering plate or leave it with us today. Next Sunday, November 7, is All Saints Sunday, and we are going to have the banners back that we do every year, and we're looking forward to many people being with us. Spread the word, and next Sunday is All Saints Sunday. Also, Commitment Sunday next week for our All In, our promise effort this year, and it's also Fall Back Time Change. So we'll get all that together in one Sunday next week. Charge Conference, annual Charge Conference happens on November 14, 2:30 by Zoom. If you need a connection link to that, let us know in the office. And then also on November 14th, my friend and colleague, Dr. Victor McCullough, will be here to preach for us. He serves as missional strategist and district superintendent for the Heartland District of the United Methodist Church of Oklahoma, of which we are a part. And so we look forward to him being here. He's a fine preacher, and I'm sure you will be blessed. And so spread the word about that as well. Today we continue our sermon series, All In, Our Promise, and our focus today is our witness. And so would you stand with me, please, to sing number 545, The Church's One Foundation.
Will you please join with me in our affirmation of faith as printed in our bulletin? McFarland is all in for the promise of God's will and way revealed in Jesus. All in for our mission of changing lives that change the world. McFarland is all in with our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. All in to do all in our power to strengthen the church's ministries. McFarland is all in to celebrate and remember those who came before us, those saints who built the foundation upon which we stand. McFarland, we trust God who is eternally all in. We celebrate God's unreserved and energetic promise of grace and peace. We are all in for the promise of our future together as Christ's church. For with God, all things are possible, that God may be all and in all. Amen. You may be seated. Will you please join me in a time of prayer? Come, O Spirit of God, and make your presence known to us this day. As we enter here to worship you and to show our deep gratitude for all that you do in our lives, help us to once again witness you. For your guidance and protection in our lives in ways that are obvious and in ways that are not so obvious, we give thanks. We lift up to you today, O God, those who are hurting, those who are suffering, those who are scared, those who are worried, those who are carrying tremendous burdens. We bring those burdens and those worries and those sufferings to you today, O God. And we ask and expect your healing touch in miraculous and amazing ways. And we celebrate, O God, as you do with those who have much to celebrate. To those who've experienced your presence in their lives in a healing way, we give thanks. To those who've had prayers that have been answered, we give thanks. For those who have had worries in their lives that they didn't even know that they had, but you showed up at the right time, we give thanks. And are grateful, O God, that you don't ignore us, that you don't forget us, that you don't forsake us. And we ask you, O God, to show up and to announce your presence to those who have turned their back on you, whether they are opposing you and your ways or simply ignoring you. May your grace, O God, become evident to them in a life-changing way. We ask you, O God, to be with this, your church, as we strive to be all in. We pray, O God, that we can witness you, and that as we witness you, we then can become a witness into the community for you, that we can be sharing the power and the love and the hope that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ, that we can do that by feeding the hungry, by hearing of the sufferings, by walking alongside those who hurt, that we can be a tangible witness to the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives today and each and every day. And help us, O God, to live a life of being all in. Help us to live that in more than just a catchy phrase kind of way, but to really think about how we're ordering our lives, how we're living our lives, the words that we're speaking, the things that we're doing, the way we spend our resources and our time. For we know, O God, that there are so many things that are pulling and tugging at us, demanding our attention. And sometimes, O God, it seems as though you are going silent. Help us to witness you and to know you, and help that to be reflected in the way that we live. This morning, O God, what a joy it is to worship, to be together. We know, O God, that your people are gathering all around the world today, in special places, with special friends, with people that are important to you, people who are singing your praises and hearing your word and being taught deeply what it is that you want us to know. And we join with them. We join with them not only in spirit, but we also join with them in word. As we use the words that Jesus taught us so long ago, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Good morning. If you don't know me already, my name is Jane Cook, and I serve you as the Director of Care Ministries here at McFarland. It is with very much gratefulness and a privilege that I introduce to you today the seventh class of Congregational Care Ministers. So to my left, Reese Allen, Myra Evans, Olivia Fagans, Marshall Jones, Missy Louie. And one that's not able to be here today, Teddy Herr, also trained with us this last weekend, and she'll be commissioned at a later date. McFarland considers our congregational care ministers to be lay ministers, serving our church by providing compassionate, consistent care to those that are going through a time of difficulty. It may be you've lost a loved one, you've been hospitalized, you've had surgery, you've been ill, and also times of joy when you've had a new baby or a new addition to the family through adoption. This ministry began in 2013, and since then, over 600 of you have been served by our congregational care ministers.
Thank you, Jane. The Spirit certainly works through Jane Cook in directing our congregational care ministry and training people. Thank you, Jane, for your service and ministry. Dear friends, you have been called by God and chosen for leadership in this church as a congregational care minister. This is both a serious responsibility and a blessing to our church. Being chosen to serve in this ministry recognizes your unique gifts of acceptance, caring, and compassion in serving God's people here at McFarland. And we thank you. We do thank you for accepting this opportunity to serve those assigned to you who are experiencing times of crisis and joy, and pray that God's love for the world may be seen through your actions. Do you this day acknowledge yourself a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ? If so, say, I do. Will you devote yourself to the service of God as a congregational care minister at McFarland, and so live, love, and serve that you enable your church to be a people of God's love and grace? If so, say, I will. And now, if you would move to the altar, we want to anoint you and pray over you. Let us pray. Almighty God, pour out your blessings upon these your servants who have entered the ministry of being congregational care ministers. Grant them grace to give themselves wholeheartedly in your service. Keep before them the example of Jesus, who did not think first of himself, but who loved and gave himself for all of us. As they share in Jesus' ministry, may they be assured of God's presence in all they do. Guide them in their service and give them wisdom and understanding to meet the needs of those they serve. Reward their faithfulness with the hope that through them your purposes are accomplished. In the name and the way of Jesus, amen. For accepting this call, please stand and return to your seats for this congregation.
Please stand and join us in singing hymn 110, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, 110.
Thank you. So, Kaylee, we actually first met back in the winter. You sang that solo on I Believe for the choir. You joined it in May, and yet it feels like you've always been here. You've been a part of the fabric of the McFarland faith. And so tell that story. How did you all get involved starting with our online worship?
So I would say actually McFarland's always sort of been like a second church home to us. We lived in Edmond, but I was a student of Dr. Zielinski back when he first moved to Norman 13 years ago. And so they would often come ask me to sing at Christmas or, you know, the candlelight service. And so I knew a lot of the people in the choir already and had many friendships and connections just from coming back year after year. And so it for us, once we moved to Norman, it just made sense.
And so John, what was worshiping at home like? What was it about online? What was it about the church that made you say, this is where I want to be all in?
We looked around at a lot of churches in the Norman area, and we really just kind of kept coming back to McFarland. Worshiping at home is a little bit difficult. We've got two kids, and usually when you're actually in the building, you don't have other people in the congregation asking you for snacks all the time. But, you know, we ultimately, for us, having our kids actually in a physical building with people who love on them, who care for them, that was probably the most important thing about being back.
Getting to know a lot of the children's staff and our daughters being so excited, looking forward to church, and anytime the doors are open, they want to be here just like we do. And so I think for us as parents, like growing up in a church that has a faith and a community that come around that's multi-generational is also really, really important to us.
Time and time again, we hear your story of folks who have watched online, who have said, McFarland's where we want to be. Usually we feel like we're having to maybe walk with people, and now the new folks, the new families are running ahead of us saying, come on, like we're ready to go. And so why to your faith is being all in really the only kind of gear to go?
I think, you know, we've always, like I said, we've always loved the church, and we've viewed it as whenever we commit to a church that we're there to serve, we're there to give back. Church isn't about just us. When we're kind of just nominal attendees and we're not really involved in a lot of ways, that deprives the church of the gifts that we have.
And I think you really do get out what you put in. And I think that we have just from the very beginning, we know that no matter what it is, whether it's something we're comfortable doing or something that pushes us out of our comfort zone, that there's a spot for everyone. And I think that that's what's one of the greatest things. And we love the Norman community. We met here at OU our freshman year. And so moving back is another reason why we were just so excited to find a church to partner with to serve the Norman community, because we love Norman so much. So joining our faith with a community that we love so much, McFarland, just absolutely made the most sense.
One of the things about moving to a church in the middle of a pandemic, you, as a pastor, you have no idea kind of what you're walking into. And it was such a relief when one of the first things they said is, like, our people make their pledges. Like, they make their pledge, they make their promise, and they fulfill it. And I know what that feels like, and I know how grateful I am for that. But why for you all is making that pledge to support the church, what's that mean to you? Why is that important to you?
Yeah, so we've always, in any church where we've been a part, we've always been financially supportive. Feel like it's a biblical calling to give back. I mean, my income isn't necessarily mine. I see it as a blessing from the Lord. But in addition, in a lot of ways, I think it's like any other finance, it's an investment. And we feel really comfortable with McFarland and its ministries and the things it does in the community, that I know that the money that I give to the church is going to go to places where it meets needs in the community that I can independently do by myself. And so that's something that even when we were just online, we started giving at that time, knowing that we were going to join the church and that we wanted to support the ministries of McFarland any way we could.
What a wonderful story of a family, people of faith, bringing their family into a community of faith. And it's a story that's told many times in all of your lives and our lives together. We all have a story about how we've connected with God and through faith and with a church community, a family of faith. Even during the time when we've been distanced or not distanced and all of the hubbub and turmoil, it's a great story, a great witness about our giving too. And so we give as people who love the church because God has given the church a mission. Let us give.
Be seated. Our scripture today comes from Acts in the second chapter, beginning with verse 41. Hear these words. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Oh God, we pray that we would have open minds and permeable hearts, that we might let you through all the stuff, through all the distractions, through everything, to get close to us, to say a word to us, to show us something. And so we come listening in the name and the way of Jesus. Amen. I think it was 2006. It was a Sunday evening in Shawnee, Oklahoma, and I was expecting a United Methodist pastor from Russia as a part of the Central Oklahoma Russia Initiative to show up at St. Paul's with a translator. She was slated to show pictures, slides, and talk about the ministry of her church. And she arrived not very long before the presentation was to begin, but without a translator. Well, we were able to communicate enough so that we figured out we could show the slides and hope that it's very true that a picture is worth 1,000 words. Soon people began to arrive and fill the seats in the fellowship hall, eager to hear what this pastor had to say. Well, we would be able to see, but without translation, hearing, listening, understanding would be compromised. We really needed a translator. And then I thought of Maylis Pockrey, the husband of my wife's niece, Carol. Carol attended OU in ballet school and graduated here and then went back to Denver. And Maylis was the ballet master in Denver. And they married and they were part of a church there. Maylis had danced with the he was from Estonia, and so he had danced with the Soviet ballet before the fall. In fact, I think he was about ready to defect at that time. And anyway, he wound up in Denver, married to our niece, and he spoke Russian. So I called him on a cell phone and found him in a parking lot at Costco while Carol was shopping and said, "Can you do this for us?" Well, of course he said he would do it for us. And so now, speaker phones on cell phones were not that big of a deal yet, but Jerry, the church member, had just bought a new Motorola phone with a great speakerphone on it. So we put the microphone to the speakerphone, and voila, we had translation, and we could all not only hear, but we could understand and get the message of what God was doing in and through this pastor and her church and her people. Her witness was made rich and complete because we could both see and hear. Our focus today is on our witness as one essential component of being church together. And in the biblical book of Acts, the story of the ancient church origin and development, there is this very clearly demonstrated point that it's very true, it's convincingly true, that witnessing to the activity of God requires both telling and showing, both hearing and seeing. The author emphasizes the spirit speech and the spirit-inspired actions as a combination that together form a compelling and persuasive witness to God's activity in and through the church as an extension of the ministry of Jesus then and now. So today's reading contains references to the impact of both what was said and what is visible to be observed. In the part of the story that precedes what we just read, the Apostle Peter delivers a powerful spirit speech, a sermon, on the day of Pentecost. He tells the story of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. He underscores the awesome activity of God in Jesus, who taught and acted so that people would hear and see and come to understand God's message of forgiveness and the end of alienation. Peter promises that the church will always speak and act in ways to give witness to what God is doing in the world. So our reading today is the conclusion to that episode. And so it is that because of what many have seen and heard, many are baptized and gathered into the community of the followers of Jesus. The church expands and enlarges because of two primary factors. One, the witness that is both spoken and demonstrated by church people. And two, the activity of God. And the activity of God depends upon the witness of the church. And it's named by three words here: baptized, saved or liberated, and adding. To be saved or liberated is a reference to God forgiving and welcoming. Baptism is the outward sign of a work that God does in the heart and mind of people, and it's a sign of being gathered into the community of faith, the church. And God adding, twice we're told God added to the church, God adding refers to much more than being listed as a member or a participant on some role. To say that God is adding people to the church is to say that God is gathering all who are receptive, gathering them into the family and friendship of an awesome community, a community of grace and generosity. And God accomplishes this action through our witness. Let's take a closer look at three aspects of our witness that we can hear and see in today's scripture story. First, enjoyable and cooperative community is itself a witness to the power and the presence of the Spirit of Jesus. People eagerly relocate their faith life into churches that are alive with and focused on common mission and life. Imagine a family some generations ago in the Philippine Islands living in an indigenous house called a nipa hut. It's constructed with bamboo tied together, has a thatched roof made from leaves of the nipa palm tree. It stands off the ground on stilts. And parents with children, maybe a grandmother, are living in this hut, this modest house, and a time comes when they need to move, perhaps to avoid severe landslides and flooding that have come because of a typhoon, perhaps because they have need to move economically. Well, the word goes out to the community, and the community gathers around them and under them. They bring long poles, and they put the poles under the house, and 15 to 20 strong-shouldered souls lift up the house and move the house to its new location. They carry the house, with others supporting to clear the path and make space. They act as one community in support of this need, in support of the communal goal to help each other, even when the task might seem daunting or the cause is disturbing. Filipinos call this community spirit bayanihan, a cherished concept of community spirit, cooperation to achieve community goals. And the church described in the scriptures today and in the book of Acts is characterized by such a bayanihan experience. They worship, eat, fellowship, and persevere together. They even sell their possessions and pool their resources together. Their hearts are filled with gladness and generosity toward each other because all of them are forgiven sinners. Nobody's better than anybody else. They are all in to be together. The church itself has become one of the, quote, signs and wonders observable by the wider culture around them, a culture that we're told looks at this church with favor and appreciation. Our witness is an invitation to people to relocate their lives and families into a community of faith, defined and controlled by the Jesus story, the story of forgiveness and hope. Such an invitation requires that the church actually practice cooperation and community as a sign and a signal of what God can do. In today's culture, when there is so much rancor and venomous sniping related to politics and preferences and positions and power, it is indeed a rather awesome miracle, a sign and wonder, when a church operates as a living display of people with different and deeply held convictions, yet living and working together with glad and generous hearts. The second observation from this scripture is that witness relates to worship. The people regularly spend time in the temple and in praying and praising God. We, however, live in an individualized society, by and large, in an increasingly secular age. The majority of people around us are not that eager to worship. Many have become skeptical and resistant to believing that God is both active in us and in the world and is also transcendent to our experience of time and space in ways we don't fully understand. Some point to science as a reason to say they don't believe, perhaps not realizing that quantum physics easily makes place, if we need a place made, for there to be a God who can be among us and transcendent at the same time, at work in the world, at work in Jesus and in the church and in our living spirit of being the church that extends the ministry of Jesus. Our primary assignment, though, is not to argue and debate, to win debates with that kind of logic, but to witness to how we experience God. Our experiences of the transcendent presence of God in worship is for us a witness, and also creates for us our witness, a witness to a secular-prone population. I believe that every week in worship, many of us experience transcendent moments when we feel like we have met or sensed the presence of God. In the famous scene of the prophet Isaiah being called to give a witness, he has this vision where he sees the Lord high and lifted up and hears the Lord say to him, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And Isaiah feels unworthy to be that prophetic witness. And then he experiences cleansing, liberating forgiveness. And he says, "Here I am. Send me. Send me." You don't have to be Isaiah the prophet, or Paul, or Peter the apostle. All we have to be is forgiven. Nothing is so transcendent as forgiveness. Whether we do the forgiving or we are the forgiven, it's a God thing, a God moment. And every time we rehearse it, it is once again. Church, whenever while worshiping we catch a glimpse or hear a thought that we sense must be God, that experience becomes the stuff of our witness. If in worship you feel like you've gained some wisdom or strength or meaning or forgiveness, then find an opportunity to let someone know about that. It can be as easy as recommending worship to a friend in the same way that you recommend a book or a movie or a restaurant where you've had a good experience or enjoyed what that was. Someone says, you know, they're down or struggling and need some hope. You might just recommend worship as a way that you find energy and confidence and strength and fellowship, help and hope. Whatever your experience is that brings something good to your life out of worship. It's like saying, it works for me, it might work for you. Would you come with me and try that? Just give a simple witness to those God moments. Remember them, and at the right time, talk about them. The third witness-related activity in the scripture today, is that the church pays attention to the teachings of the apostles. So taking clues from what we see in the next 26 chapters of the book of Acts after the second chapter, we see that much of what they do is telling the story of the life and the teachings and the storytelling and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. They're telling the story of the faithful witness of Jesus and all of his activity, and of telling the story of God's faithfulness working in Jesus through his life and death and resurrection. And similarly, our witness is simply telling our story of faith. You know, people understand the language of stories. And our witness is to translate our faith experience into the language of story. Our witness is to take our story, defined and redefined by the story of Jesus, and share it with others. You know, Jesus advocated for the poor, the young, the vulnerable, the defenseless, and the excluded. And we can signal our faith by such advocating action that people can see. Jesus lived faithfully and told parables about life that caused people to want to know more, to ask questions, and to wonder what he meant. We can witness simply by recommending the teachings and the wisdom of Jesus and the parables, the stories of Jesus. We can witness by telling people how we find guidance and experience in worship. What if you printed a few copies of the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5 through 7 and kept that with you, and someone then is struggling or some way looking for help or wisdom, and you say, well, you know, I find wisdom in this piece of the story of Jesus, and maybe you'll find something in here, and just share it with them. Or maybe you keep copies of the Good Samaritan story about the guy who extravagantly helps the stranger when you wouldn't expect it. And say, you know, our church is not perfect, but we try to do what we're taught in this story. Here, I'll share it with you. And maybe you could come try our church sometime. Or whatever ministry in the church you might want to invite them to come to. Our witness is translating what we know into some little story, vignette, etc., and helping people to see and to hear. Our witness is most helpful, most needed, most inviting, and most convincing when we speak and act in ways that resonate with the life experience of those outside the church, especially when we offer genuine, caring ministry to our skeptical or resistant friends and neighbors when they experience trouble or crisis. Naomi Shihab Nye is an American poet and professor of creative writing at Texas State University. She was in the Albuquerque airport terminal, and she heard an announcement: if anyone in the vicinity of Gate 4, A4, understands any Arabic, please come to the gate immediately. Well, she went. and found an older woman in full traditional Palestinian embroidered dress, just like Naomi's grandmother had worn. She was crumpled on the floor, wailing. "Help," said the flight agent. "Talk to her. What is her problem? We told her the flight was going to be late, and she did this." Naomi stooped to put her arm around this woman, and haltingly in her broken Arabic, spoke to her. And the woman, hearing words that she recognized, however poorly they were, she stopped crying and began to listen. The woman thought the flight had been totally canceled and she needed to be in El Paso the next day for major medical treatment. She thought she was going to miss this vital moment and necessary moment in her life, but Naomi explained to her that she would just be delayed and she would get there. And then she asked who was picking her up, and it was her son, and she called her son and spoke to him in English on the phone and said, I will stay with your mother until we board, and I will ride with her on the plane, and she will be there. Our witness is translation. It is especially helpful and effective when we respond to neighbors, coworkers, even adversaries, others, in a time of stress or crisis, by simply translating the story of God's love that we've experienced in the way of Jesus by our actions and words of ministry, by entering into the moment of trouble with a genuine desire to help that person or those persons. We listen, we respect, and if there's opportunity, we talk about how our faith makes a difference in our lives. We tell a piece of our story. Our desire is to help people be liberated to the joy that's defined by Jesus and be added to a glad and generous experience of life in the church, a family of faith. Our witness is also in and through our church, of course. And as the church, we have good news to translate and deliver. We live the good news. We model that for people. And it will take great use of our building and excellence in technology and personnel and ministries. And I want you to know that we as a church are strengthening our church evangelism, our good news team, and that Scott Meyer, our director of missions, and Pastor Trey, our director of discipleship, are both working with that team that Scott leads so that we can do all we can do to witness to the good news. We make our witness stronger when we make our church stronger. In the name of the God who creates us, redeems us, and keeps us, may it be so. Before I pray, let me say this to you. Maybe you're watching, worshiping by live stream, or just checking out. Maybe you're here in the balcony of the pews here. It could be that someone here or someone connected feels skeptical. I'm not sure I believe all this. And like the church has made some mistakes. I'm not sure I'm that happy with the church. Or maybe it's someone you know that's skeptical or resistant. I just want to say, reach out to me. I'd love to just listen to you, have a conversation with you, or that person you're thinking about that's questioning. You know, I'd love to connect. So hopefully we can do that. I'm open to those conversations. Oh God, we pray that you would help us to be people who are unafraid to just share enough of our experience that we might help somebody. Help us do that. Help us tell the story. In the name of Jesus, this is our prayer. Would you stand with me to sing hymn number 156? I love to tell the story. Before we go today, I want to make an announcement. Effective tomorrow, our policy will be optional masking for all McFarland indoor and outdoor gatherings, and that takes effect first thing tomorrow. Or come at midnight tonight and we can... there are some special considerations. We will continue to be masking with our children under 12, and as a pastor with a pastor's heart, having seen some people struggle and even their lives end, I have a real concern for those who are unvaccinated and immune compromised, and would hope that persons might continue to mask for their health, but that's also optional. And also there may be special considerations with the choir because of singing and that protocol. So the official policy is optional masking starting tomorrow. And now, as you go, you can share that witness with your friends and neighbors who've been waiting for that. And also, share your story. And may the God of all hope fill you with such joy and peace and believing that you'd like to tell somebody about that joy and peace and believing. And may the Spirit fill us all with hope. In the name and the way of Jesus we go. Amen.